Auto Line After Hours is brought to you by Bridgestone Tires, your journey, our passion, and by Fiat.
This is Auto Line After Hours with John McElroy, episode 312 for December 3rd of 2015, on site with Nissan's Titan XD. Watch Autoline After Hours live at Autoline.tv every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 p.m. Pacific or 20 hours GMT. You can subscribe to this podcast for free by searching for Autoline in iTunes, Stitcher, or YouTube. Well, Gary, here we are doing another show, and it looks to me like either we've got the most fantastic green screen behind us or we're not in the studio.
We're in Fort McDowell, Arizona. Last week it was Los Angeles, and now we're in Arizona.
Hey, it's a traveling show.
Indeed it is.
We got to let everybody know that. We've got Diane Allen with us right now, the senior manager for Nissan Design America, because we want to talk all about the design of this new Titan pickup that you've got here. So when they came to you and said, Diane, we need a new truck, we need to change this thing, what's the first thing that popped into your mind?
Well, I think we have a small team that did this project. They got so excited. We all did. We all got very excited to start with a fresh slate, as it was. And the first thing we did was kind of kick around, what is the next Titan? We can't just be another, you know, wannabe. We have to be our own self, true to our roots. You know, Titan is warrior. And so we wanted to bring that out in the styling, make it more athletic, more robust, more wheel-oriented.
So this is the second generation of this vehicle, and you had the opportunity to just clean slate and let's really go at it.
Absolutely. And the partnership with Cummins really helped launch this kind of new design philosophy for the truck.
Now, wait a minute. Cummins, of course, is a diesel engine. How does a diesel engine affect the design of a truck?
Believe it or not, the engine bay had to grow substantially. And so from the first generation truck, it had to grow in length a bit and in height just to package that engine. And that kind of dictated the volume that we ended up creating in the back of the bed. We raised the bed, the belt came up, all to balance the weights so it looked like a natural expression.
Mm-hmm. So you worked on the first generation vehicle.
Yes, I did.
And you had the opportunity to do this one. And so when you do something the first time, you know, I think you put your heart and soul into that, and then you had the opportunity to say, well, I want to change it a little bit. So what are the things on the new truck that were changes from your first go-through?
Well, I think the first truck was a very unique expression in the market at the time. It was very modern, almost simple and bold. But I think this time around, we wanted to really express capable. This is a full power tool that, you know, a man can count on for his work, not just the weekend warrior. So we really wanted the design expression to show off and showcase that capability.
And yet you still wanted people to know, hey, that's a Nissan Titan. So, I mean, even though it's different than the first gen, people will recognize that this is still a Nissan Titan.
Absolutely. It's like that first generation Titan grew up and got worked out in the gym, mm-hmm. and became much more physical, more expressive.
Well, the front end strikes me as being very aggressive, I mean, very strong. Is that sort of the thing you were trying to...
Oh, absolutely. We wanted the stare at the front end to just be like a predator with the light signature and the way the eyes are configured. But if you look at the assembly of the grille and the headlamps and even the inner of the lamps, everything's like massive hardware designed to interlock. Mm-hmm. And then the whole assembly has this kind of well-finished, very serious predator impression.
Mm-hmm. You talked about the headlamps. Keep going with that, because why is it everyone's getting this sort of C-clamp look to their headlamps? Ford's got it on their truck, and we're starting to see it pop up on others.
Well, I'm sure you've seen this logo that's around the places, the T for the Titan logo. That really inspired us to be Titan, but it has this mask, and it actually came from sketches about Gladiator and Warrior's mask, and that's what they wore in battle.
Through the slot.
Yes. And so that T started showing up all over the truck, and that ended up being in the light configuration. If you look on the interior, you can see in the C cluster that little motion of T coming down there. So that really was what inspired us.
Mm-hmm.
let's keep going along the side. You've got fender vents on it now. And fender vents, of course, in the last decade have popped up on everything, starting with luxury cars. Now they've gravitated to full-size pickup trucks. Why?
Well, I think we really wanted to showcase that Cummins engine. And by having that vent there, even though it's closed off now, originally it was to allow for cooling. But as we did further testing, we realized it wasn't helping, but we still loved the look of it because it's like a badge of honor. And to see that big C there and that nice bezel, and it has kind of a motion to it. If you look at the way it sits on the fender, sheet metal, we felt it had a nice tailored quality. Proud to be a Cummins.
And you really wanted to have that Cummins badge very prominent.
Absolutely. I mean, we are Titan Warrior, but with this, it puts us in a new league.
So tell us a little bit about the team that worked on this. What was the mix? Was it male? Was it younger, older? Was it
everything?
Everything.
Yeah. Everything. What's interesting, we were very small in San Diego, so the team was relatively a team of maybe six designers at the most,
and that was inside and out.
Yes, inside and out. But we had a large digital team to help create the data. We had a very super talented clay team because all of these trucks that we had to build and design, we had to design for all the cab and bed configurations. So in the studio, we sometimes had 8 clay full-size trucks around just because we had to make
that. That's a lot of clay.
That's a lot of clay. And a lot of people got very tired during this program.
Because we should mention, this comes in conventional cab, extended cab, crew cab.
5.5-foot bed, 6-foot bed, and 8-foot bed, yeah.
So looking at that, I mean, in terms of bed size, I mean, does that affect the cab design when you guys are looking at that, saying that you have to have something that is shorter and longer?
Absolutely. So when you look at a single cab, you got half of that crew cab is gone. The way that bone, which is the muscle on the body side of the shoulder, well, the way that flows through the rest of the bed has to work with both the two longer beds. And that can't have a strange relationship where it looks broken at that interface. So yeah, you really have to work all those configurations at the same time. And it's a logistics nightmare, but...
Also, I like some of the other design cues that you put on there. We've talked about some of them. But the way that at the leading edge of the doors, the window opening cuts down where the mirror is, that's something, too, that... We've seen.
Yeah, but what we have a real criteria reason why we did that. One was the tow mirror footprint on the door had to remain that same height in order for stability and the whole way that the tow mirror had to fit on the door for criteria purposes, as I said. So we could not have the glass up or it wouldn't mount correctly. So the glass had to drop and then come up. And because of the design of the weight of the front and the fender, we wanted that belt up and we wanted that bed up. So it actually has a real purpose. And just driving it around, the amount of visibility down on that by that tire is very, I don't know, it feels safe.
So this truck is launching first with the diesel engine. Did that have an effect on how you guys approach the design of the vehicle in terms of thinking the diesel first? And then
the diesel first because of the scale and the size of it. But I have to say I'm very excited about the V8. It's got a smaller front clip. Mm-hmm. It's a little more sporty looking because of that. And it's probably got a little more posture to it. So it's got, I think, a kind of a young, hipper, weekend warrior look. But it's really nice to have the big brother be this capable power tool. So as a pair, they have this very nice positioning relationship.
Mm-hmm. One of the other design details I wanted to ask you about is you got these long running boards on it. But you've broken it up where the two doors meet. And you've got the little Nissan or the Titan nameplate embossed into it. Tell me some of the thinking that went into that. Was that just to break it up, or you just wanted to get that Titan name in another place?
Well, no. I want to mention that the team that did all the big design work did every detail. We did every part. That was one of them. And the intent there was to give it kind of a more modern, like a plated warrior feel with that strip of metal coming up and around. It's kind of like plating an armor. So we wanted to celebrate that and put that Titan there. And it breaks it up so it has kind of a movement and then embraces the whole cab in a modern way, not just a big tube.
So you mentioned everybody, they were doing the detail as well as the overall. I mean, is that uncharacteristic of vehicle design?
A lot of times a program is so big that the team is much bigger than what we had, so they'll have a bunch of designers that are just doing headlamps, tail lamps, and they're finishing out the minutia. We couldn't do that. We didn't have that luxury. So the same design team that did the exterior and interior did every detail. I could tell you
but
about...
But as a designer, you got to love that.
You know what? It's probably one of the most satisfying design programs I've ever worked on, because when I look at it, there's no apologies. I can say, that was intended, that was intended, and that was intended.
So maybe small design teams are a way to go?
I think if you're agile as we are, I think it's pretty effective.
So what allowed that to happen? I mean, what was about the culture? What was about the organization? I mean...
Well, first of all, I think it was great that Nissan wanted to make this an all-American truck, designed, engineered, built. So they came to us. We're the facility for North America. And even though we're not big, we had to take it on. This is our territory. We know truck. And so I think the excitement with the design team was so... overwhelming. It didn't bother us, even though that meant longer hours and weekends and stuff.
Cool. Well, Diane, thanks so much for telling us all about how that this thing got designed. We got to switch you out right
yep.
now, because now we got to go under the skin and learn a few more of the details inside here. But thanks so much for
Thank
coming
you. My
on.
My pleasure.
It's been great having you here.
Thank you.
Okay, and as we switch out guests here, joining us right now is Brent Hagen. He's the manager of product planning for Nissan North America.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Well, don't say good morning yet. You're not plugged in there. Now you are, Brent.
All right. Good morning,
Welcome
gentlemen.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. What a beautiful location, right? We're out here testing the performance, the features, showing you guys, giving you guys a good showcase of what the Titan XD has to offer.
It's look, what we've always said, the proof is in the pudding, and that in this case means driving it, not just talking about it.
Absolutely.
But we'll talk about it for right now. And Brent, I want to have you point out some of the things that you and I had looked over this truck a couple of months ago. And what I was really impressed about is all the little details that went into it from a storage and usability standpoint. And that's not immediately apparent when you just look at the truck. And why don't you run us through some of those things that you think helped to distinguish the Titan from the other trucks
sure.
in the field?
It's a great comment. You know, from the front to the back of the truck, we tried to look at every angle to see where can we improve the utility and capability of the truck. You know, trucks are tools at the end of the day, and it's not just about the brute force of the motor. It's about how many different ways can we make the customer's life easier to, you know, make it a one-man operation. So starting at the back of the truck, you know, from where what separates a truck from every other vehicle on the road is that pickup bed. And so we know truck customers use their beds in a number of different ways. So it was about building in things like a Utilitrack system that has rails on the bedside, but also the bed floor. So somebody who's locking down a motorcycle or something has those tie-down points. It's about adding an 110-volt outlet inside the bed for the contractor who's out there that needs to charge up his batteries on his drills or his circular saw, whatever else. It's about adding cameras all the way around the truck, so it gives you an around view monitor, what we call a round view monitor. It gives you a bird's eye view all the way around the truck. We've also added a couple things like in the for towing customers. We know the Titan XD, particularly with the Cummins engine, is going to be those customers that are looking to tow a lot. And so we've added in things like a trailer light check feature that will allow the customer, he doesn't have to have another person helping him, you know, do the turn signals and the brakes and everything else.
Wait. Slow down a bit, because I think this is an important point. You know, if you've attached a trailer to your truck.
Absolutely.
You got to make sure that the lights on the trailer are working, the brake lights and the turn signal. Now explain how you can do this with one person
absolutely,
with your truck and
absolutely.
Not have a second person.
We talked to, as we went through the process of developing the truck, we talked to a lot of customers to say, how can we make your life easier? How can we make the truck a one-man operation? One of the things we kept hearing is, I can hook up the trailer by myself, but when it comes to, you know, checking my lights, I need somebody else there. I need somebody pressing the brake pedal, doing the turn signals or that, or I have my handy brick there to set on the brake pedal. So with the customer nowadays, they hook up the trailer.
Advice to do at home. I mean, it's just,
yeah,
you know,
it's just... not what we advise, but we looked at how can we make that easier operation. So we said the truck can do all that itself. It doesn't need someone else to do it. So the truck customer now with the Titan XD can hook up the trailer, plug in his 4 or 7 pin connector from his trailer, and then take his key fob, go to the back of the vehicle, and just with a very simple operation of the key fob, the truck will actually go through his left turn signal, right turn signal, running lamps, and brakes. And that way he does it all, you know, all by himself. He doesn't need somebody doing all that. The truck does it with him.
And important to point out, you said that this is a Nissan patent.
This is. This is a brand new innovation in the segment and something that Nissan's bringing in a patent for us.
Cool.
Yeah.
also talk about inside the truck, especially in the back seat area. You've done a lot of things to be able to configure it for especially the person that's using this as a work truck.
Absolutely. So the same idea of utility that we have built into the bed, we carried into the cabin as well. So we looked at all the numerous ways that we can make the customer's life easier, better, simpler. So we added in a thing, we added in features like a brand new underseat storage in the back seat that not only serves as a storage system that's lockable, but also has a flat floor in it. So those customers that say, I purchased something at IKEA, you know, some furniture, or I bought a TV at Best Buy or whatever else, and I don't want to put it in the bed because maybe it's raining or something, they can put it inside the cabin. They can throw it across that flat floor, strap it down, have all the utility they need. We've got things like grocery hooks, just simple wows like that, grocery hooks. So those customers that have stopped off at the store on the way home and they've picked up, you know, the bag of groceries, instead of just setting it either in the bed or inside the cabin, and when they get home, they play, you know, the hide and seek with the can of spaghetti sauce or whatever else. You know, it's all right there still in the bag because they were able to hook it on the grocery hooks.
So how did you guys make the determination that these were good things? I mean,
it was talking to a lot of customers. So again, it goes back to when we looked at it, we knew trucks do a lot of things and they serve a lot of purposes. Trucks are unique in that they have to serve really in three different ways. They have to be a commuter vehicle, they have to be a work vehicle, and they have to be a play vehicle. And nothing else really serves those same three purposes using the same vehicle. And so we talked to a lot of customers about how do you use your truck? How can we make your life easier? What can we improve upon? You know, we did that with the first generation truck. We were the first to introduce things like a spray-in bed liner, a Utilitrak system. People don't realize we were the first to do bedside storage. We were the very first. So we wanted to improve upon those innovations. And we did that by talking to a lot of customers. How can we make your life better?
Mm-hmm. I think one interesting point is that when the first generation truck came out, the gear shift lever was on the console. Mm-hmm. Now you've moved it to the column. Explain why.
Well, we talked to a lot of customers and they said, I need more storage space. I mean, trucks are big and they're great, but I need as much storage space as I can possibly get. We talked to a lot of contractors and said, you know, in the morning time, I've got gloves and a notebook and I've got a cup of coffee and a water bottle and a Gatorade for after lunch and all these things. I need storage space for all of it. So we looked at that center console and we realized the gated console mounted shifter was great and fun. It felt very sporty, but it took up a ton of real estate. And so as we talked to customers, they said, listen, I appreciate the sportiness of it, but at the end of the day, this is a truck. I want to use it as a truck. So I prioritize utility over sporty feel. I'll leave that to my Z or to my GTR. You know, I want utility in the truck. And so when moving that console shifter up to the column, freed up a lot of space. So you guys now have seen we've got configurable cup holders in there. We've got storage space for two large 32-ounce Gatorades, which has always been a problem, right? How do you package those things? You can fit a 15-inch laptop inside the center console and file folder storage. On the sides, we've got storage for, you know, an Atlas or an iPad, whatever you're putting there. So we really use that real estate as wisely as possible.
So if we were to look at competitive vehicles, I mean, many of the same things could be said about their offering items of this nature. What do you look at your truck and say, we really nailed it on this thing and we're leaving these other guys behind?
Well, you know, if you look at each individual competitor, you may say, oh, yep, one's got spray-in bed liner, or one has a Utilitrak, or one has this feature or that feature. But what we think for the Titan, what separates it, other than, you know, things like a Cummins diesel and towing over 12,000 pounds and the stability and confidence, the dynamic side, in addition to that, it's about the whole breadth of features. It's not just a flat floor and an underseat and a spray-in bed liner and a Utilitrak and 110 volt in the bed and a trailer light check and around view monitor. You go on and on. It's about the fact that we have the full breadth. We didn't just pick and choose a feature here and there, but really the best of what every competitor has to offer, you can get all in one package as opposed to some here and some there.
And of course, you got to do that. I mean, you guys are the real challengers in this segment, so you got to really stand out above the others.
Absolutely. For us, we have to prove to the customer that there's value in looking at the Titan. It's about performance. It's about comfort. It's about the value of it. So that when they take a look at the Titan, they go, wow, I get everything that I need, and it's a handsome truck. It's a great truck. This is a fantastic offering. Absolutely, I need to take a chance on it. Yeah.
So you mentioned the Cummins diesel, so you guys are coming to market first with the diesel. Tell us a little bit about that strategy behind that.
Well, for us, it was about putting our best foot forward. As we've talked about before, we have two different chassis, two trucks, the Titan XD and the Titan. We have a host of cab configurations, as you talked with Diane, a single cab, a king cab, and a crew cab. But for us, it was about the kind of the tip of the iceberg. Let's show the Halo model. Let's get everybody really enthusiastic about the truck, about the potential and the capability with the Cummins and the XD and all the performance that it has. And then let them realize and see, okay, there's a whole iceberg under the water level here that I've got single cabs, I've got a Titan, I've got a V8 gas motor, I've got every different configuration. But that first thing that maybe will draw them into the dealership, something they haven't seen before, is a Cummins in a Nissan or something else. And so having a half-ton truck that has a Cummins diesel will bring them into the dealerships, and they're going to see all the other configurations.
What else? I mean, to me, it's amazing how much emphasis that you've put on storage. I mean, these trucks are gigantic, and yet you're emphasizing, certainly on the interior and in the bed, more about storage than anything else.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's about all the utility, storage and utility and everything else. I mean, I think you just hit on a point there about the size of the truck. I mean, the truck is a half ton or a little bit larger in some aspects. You know, a 6.5 foot bed, you can get a half ton and a 6.5 foot bed. But one of the things that was really important for us was having features like a round view monitor, front and rear sonar, blind spot warning, things that shrunk the size of the truck, so to speak. So the truck is large and commanding. You've got a nice, tall, proud view of the road for towing and things of that nature. But when you start putting it in a situation like a shopping mall, where we know all the customers have to do, you've got all the technologies and features there that help guide that situation. So it doesn't feel like a big land yacht, so to speak. It feels like a compact truck in a lot of ways, because you've got sonar in the front that tells you right when you're pulling up to the vehicle in front of your parking spot. You've got rear sonar when you're backing out. You've got a bird's eye view so you can see all the way around the truck. You're driving down the road and, you know, all vehicles have blind spots. There's no question. You know, align your mirrors right, you still have a few. So things like blind spot warning that tells you, hey, I've got something in my blind spot there. So it's about shrinking the size of the truck in addition to utility and storage.
You know, it's interesting that it almost seems that they've taken technology from their cars and brought it into the truck. I mean, you know, talking about the light system, it reminds me of on the Altima, invite, you know, the when you're filling up the
easy fill tire alert.
Yeah.
We have that on the Titan as well.
Yeah,
absolutely. So learning not just from other trucks and from our previous Titan, but then also learning from the other vehicles that Nissan has and brings. I mean, a round view monitor was first introduced by Nissan. Other competitors have copied it, but we thought when you've got a nice big truck, it'd be great to see 360 degrees, not only from a parking lot scene, but think about it. You're off-roading. You're somewhere like here. You're up in the mountains, and you're off-roading, and you're trying to avoid that cliff just a little bit. So that 360 degrees, you can see not only all the way around it, but you can actually switch the views and get that front right tire. Have a built-in spotter right there for the truck. So we wanted to leverage those technologies from the other areas and bring it to the truck, because we knew there'd be a lot of benefit for it.
Well, Brent Hagen, thanks so much for stopping in and filling us in on all the details, and there's about a zillion of them.
Absolutely. Thank
Appreciate
you so much.
Appreciate your time. We're going to take a quick break right now. We're going to have a whole lot more to talk about this Titan, but first, we're going to give a shout-out to our good friends at Bridgestone.
Firestone Transforce Tires. Built to handle whatever the job demands. Durable, dependable Firestone Tires. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
We're back. We're at the Nissan Titan XD Media launch, and right now we're talking with Rich Miller, the Director of Product Planning for Trucks, SUVs, CUVs, and Commercial Vehicles for Nissan North America. Rich, great having you on the program with us.
Thank you, and welcome to my hometown right here in
Phoenix. Yeah, native.
You're native. That's right. So I'm bundled up. It's 45 degrees out here. I'm bundled up.
And you know a lot about trucks, too.
Yeah.
Living out here.
Absolutely. We know trucks out here in Arizona.
So tell us how this whole thinking went, you know, because Nissan came out with the first generation Titan, decent truck, but it really never set the market on fire. It did well very early on, and then looks to me like it was sort of fire and forget. And now you guys seem to have said, hey, wait a minute, we put a lot into this thing, we can't let this thing just go away. Was that some of the thinking, or fill us in on what led to the second generation?
Well, absolutely. We launched the first generation in 2004 model year. And we had good success early on.
You did what, 70, 80,000
sales? We did about 91,000 first year.
91?
Yep, and we only covered about 50% of the market. We had a crew cab, we had a king cab, we had one engine in that truck. But as we looked at the market and decided this is where we want to be, you know, we have a strong product, we need to make it better, and we need to bring it into the next generation.
Sales went way down, right? I mean, it dropped down to what, 12,000, 14,000?
Through the economic downturn and the refocusing on the company, we had some downturn, but now the focus on the company is back where we need it to be, and trucks, SUVs, CUVs is the center stone for our product lineup, and that's where we're coming back in.
And as you said, the first generation was essentially one model. Now you're really extending the model range of this truck.
That's right. Now we're covering over 83% of the segment. We're going to have two chassis. I mean, that's the first thing we need to make sure everybody understands is that what we're seeing today, the Titan XD that comes with the available diesel engine, that's one truck. We will have another truck, the Titan truck, which will be more of a traditional half-ton truck, similar to it's the evolution of the Titan that we had before with all updated interiors and chassis and exterior. Then we have the XD, and that's a different truck for us, and it's a new position. That's why we're launching it first here for you.
And when you say different chassis, I mean, these are going to be two separate vehicles. This isn't going to be saying, okay, we're going to have this XD model, and we're going to just sort of downgrade it or downsize it.
That's true. They are two separate chassis and frames. They don't share a bolt between them. So they will be
even the lug nuts different.
Even the lug nuts are different. So, yeah, we went right down to the detail on these. We wanted to make sure we have a truck that can tow 12,000 or more, and that's not a final drive change. That is a frame chassis. Everything has to be beefed to do that. And so when we went back to the drawing board, we said, what do we need to do? And that was, let's just take the chassis and redo it. Put the body on top. So the bodies are going to be similar. They're going to look alike. They're definitely stable mates. But there will be a difference. The ride height will be higher on the XD because it has more payload that it has to carry. The front end is going to have a little bit bigger front end because it's got a bigger engine in there and there's more cooling that has to go in. But overall, Diane's team we wanted to make sure that the styling of the vehicle were consistent between the two trucks.
Explain why you're sort of making this truck a tweener. It's not a half ton, it's not a three-quarter ton. And I want you to explain it because a lot of companies look for the white space. You know, they do the grid of who's got what models in which segment, and they mm-hmm. look for that white space where nobody is, and then they try to stick something there. It doesn't always work, but you guys did this very deliberately. Explain why.
That's right, and I don't want you to think that we're geniuses here. It all goes back to what the customers want. We spent a lot of time in focus groups. We had that time there where we were saying, if we're going to get back into the truck market, we have to do it right. Seed of innovation comes from customers, and so at these focus groups, we heard time and time again from three-quarter ton customers, look, I've got a truck now, I'm spending a lot of money on this truck, a lot more than I ever have, and I have capability that I'm not even coming close to using. And we didn't just hear it in one focus group, but we heard it from Atlanta, Houston, Dallas, Denver, Minneapolis, here in Phoenix, and in San Bernardino, and time again, we heard the same thing. We go back and look, and there's 150,000 people going back and forth between the three-quarter ton and half-ton segment.
So you got some people coming out of the small truck into the big one, and others saying, I got too much trucking going down. And
that's right.
You've identified this as a sweet spot.
That's right. And those are just the guys getting off the fence. So there's a lot of people that just stayed, said, well, I don't want to go back down, or I don't want to go up. And they stayed in what they're at. So we see this as opportunity.
So that 150,000 opportunities.
At least 150,000 opportunity for that. Now, of course, everybody has their preference on what they like and what it looks like and how it handles and what engine it has and everything else. But there's definitely an opportunity there to sell trucks in this segment. And if you go back and you look in 2003 to 2005 and you look at what a three-quarter ton truck was, they all had 550 foot-pounds of torque. They all had 300 horsepower and they all could tow 12.5 towing. So if you want to know what it is, I don't really like calling it a tweener. It's just a historic three-quarter ton, you know. It's a retro three-quarter ton. It's back what those guys had back in those days, and they love those trucks.
So you made a comment earlier that saying that what they're towing isn't necessarily greater, but the size of the vehicles, the three-quarter tons, have gone way up.
Yeah, when you look at what people are doing, and we hear this straight from the focus group. This is not just me saying it, and we also do surveys and look at, we actually ask people to run across scales and we see what they're towing. But what we see is the guy who in 2003, 2005, he still has the 10-horse trailer, the 5-horse trailer, the 2-horse trailer. He's still hauling a 30-foot, you know, travel trailer. And what's happened is those 30-foot travel trailers from 2003 are lighter today than they were then. They're using better aluminums on them to make them lighter. And so the customers aren't necessarily towing more. They just have a truck that they're spending more on, and they're getting capability that they're not using. This truck isn't for everybody. Somebody who does need 17,000 pounds and hauling backhoes and whatnot, this isn't it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's other trucks for you. But for the guy that's hauling a 10 to 12,000 pound trailer, this is the right tool for the job.
Mm-hmm. So I read an interesting quote from you that basically said many trucks are defined by the competition, not by the customer, and that you guys decided that you'd go to the customer to define what the truck should be.
That's right. And that goes back to, I'm continually asked, is this a three-quarter ton or a half ton? Please decide. And I'm like, I'm not here to decide what the segment is. I let the customer decide what's the right truck and the right tool. I always say it goes back to the tool. You go to your toolbox, and if you want a half-inch wrench, you can use a half-inch wrench. You can use a crescent wrench that goes all the way up to three-quarter inch. But sometimes you need the right tool for the right job, and that's what this is. This is the right tool for that right job.
So you're really keying in on the commercial market more than the personal use market, it sounds like.
Absolutely. We have a light commercial division in our company. We build the NV200 van, the NV1500, and NV2500 van. And we've really broke into that market, but we need to go even further, and that's where the truck has to come in. When I talked about us covering 55% of the segment before, we didn't have a regular cab truck. That means we didn't touch the commercial truck market. You have to have a regular cab 8-foot bed truck. And when you have a regular cab 8-foot bed truck with this diesel engine, you know, this is for hauling generators, welders, all sorts. You look at the trucks, the job sites, and you see how many of those trucks just have a generator in the back or a welder in the back. That's more than ample this truck to carry it for them, or if they're just hauling small equipment behind it, or even the larger equipment. This truck can do that for them, and it's a more economical solution than going all the way up to the more expensive three-quarter tons.
Of course, what's interesting is that you have the Platinum Reserve trim on this car, which is just sensational. So it isn't like this is a bare-bones toolbox sort of thing. I mean, this truck has got it all.
Yeah, that's the beauty of having a grade walk. We have that truck that's perfect for the work guy who wants everything you need, nothing you don't. And then we move all the way up into the Platinum Reserve. And where this is coming from, if you're going to spend $60,000 on a truck and you look and see what those customers have at home, many of those will have an Infiniti or a luxury model at home. They're coming to the point that they're expecting to have nice grade leather. They want to make the bigger monitors in it and the heated seats and the heated steering wheels and the air conditioned seats. Absolutely, we will offer that because that's what those customers want. If the customers didn't want it, we wouldn't be offering it. And that's what we're focused on.
This is a big investment for Nissan. I'm almost tempted to say a roll of the dice, except that truck segment is so red hot right now. But you're going to put in a lot more investment than you did in the past as a company. You're going to greatly increase your manufacturing complexity. So this is a huge program for Nissan.
It is a big program, and there's a lot of people. We talk about, I heard you talking with Diane about her team and how it's a small team. Nissan does work lean. We have a small team, but there's a lot of people that still work on it from the manufacturing side that have put in the Canton plant that we have. We have our engine manufacturing plant in Deckard, Tennessee. There's a whole group of guys in Columbus, Indiana from Cummins that when I went up to visit them a few weeks ago, they are just overjoyed with bringing this engine to Nissan. And they're so passionate about their engines, and they're very passionate now about putting them in the Nissan truck that I'm very happy with that. So we're a small team, but there's a lot of us around in different groups that are very well suited to put this truck on the road.
Cool. Rich Miller, thanks so much for stopping by and talking to me and Gary all about your baby here, your big baby.
All right. Enjoy our son here in sunny Phoenix.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're going to do another live swap with a guest right now. And coming up to join us right now is Phil O'Connor. He's the director of marketing for trucks and SUVs at Nissan North America. And it looks like you're plugged in. Phil, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be here. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Well, let's talk about how you're going to market this. You got a huge wall to overcome here. As I just mentioned a minute ago, this heavy-duty truck segment is red hot right now. Yeah. I mean, we're not back quite yet to the good old days, but we're getting awfully close. And yet, as you know, this is probably the most brand-loyal segment of any in the industry. So how are you going to convince these buyers to get out of their Chevys and their Fords and their Rams?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's something
and I should say, even their Tundras.
And there's no doubt. This is This is a unique segment in many ways. The customers are unique. They're probably the most knowledgeable, most passionate customers of any segment in the industry. They know more about products than any other customer. These folks know what they want. And the brands that we'll be competing against are among the strongest brands in the industry. So from that perspective, it's a real challenge. But we believe the first step is to legitimize our truck. And we certainly have the product for that. This is an absolutely a legitimate full-size pickup. But we need to take an approach where we're going to compete, for instance, Rich mentioned the commercial market. That's a focus for us. We're going to compete in the commercial market because if we can succeed there, it will help us legitimize Titan as a full-size pickup. These customers need to be convinced that Titan is a legitimate competitor. And so that's the first step. And,
so how do you do that, though? I mean, it's just like, yeah. I'm sure that, you know, the immediate reaction many people have is to say, you know, Ford knows pickups, Chevy knows pickups, Nissan, what do they know about pickups? I mean, how do you convince them even to become a consideration?
Right. Well, the first thing is to recognize that Nissan has been building pickups for decades. So this is not a new endeavor for us. And we've been building full-size pickups for 15 years now in the U.S. So we understand pickups. So it starts with the product. And the product that we have here is in every way a legitimate full-size pickup. And it gives us the opportunity to add a Nissan twist to the segment. This truly is an innovative product. And I think innovation doesn't necessarily have to be technology. It can be a concept. And so the XD is very innovative. It's a very much a Nissan spin on the segment. And so by talking about it through that lens, it allows us to differentiate ourselves and also legitimize ourselves as a real competitor.
Well, what you just said there is very interesting. Why XD and not HD?
Well, HD signifies a very specific set of competitors. That's not what we are positioning this truck to be. That's not what the product was designed to be. It was designed to fit a very specific consumer need, which is to slot in between a heavy-duty truck and a half-ton truck. And so we don't want to suggest that the truck is something it's not, but we also want to make sure that customers understand exactly what it is, because it was designed to fill, as we mentioned, this very specific need, and we want to be very clear about that. So that's why we've chosen XD.
So not an HD as you can buy a Silverado HD.
Right.
This is the Titan XD, and then there will be a Titan without the XD.
There'll be a Titan without the XD, a regular half-ton Titan coming in the near future.
Mm-hmm. So how do you tell the story? And you know, it's everybody is just inundated with marketing messages these days, and especially in the heavy truck segment. How do you get people to go, maybe I ought to go take a look at the Nissan store and see what this XD is all about?
That's a great question, because the story is not the easiest to tell. But what first of all, we have the benefit of the knowledge of these customers. They get it. So when we go out and we explain that we're trying to solve this specific need, this compromise that customers have to make today, they either buy too little truck or too much truck. And we explain this and why the XD is designed the way it is, they get it. We've done a lot of focus groups and discussion to figure out what the right marketing message is. So just by explaining clearly the product concept, we think that's the first step to convincing customers and, you know, educating them as to what we're trying to do.
How are you going to do that from an advertising standpoint? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm guessing it's not going to be a Super Bowl ad. I got to believe that you're going to take this in a much more targeted way.
Yeah, you're right about that. So we have the advantage of several launches through the Titan program. We start with the XD, and then we have other iterations coming out in the following months. And so it's going to give us an opportunity to talk a lot about newness and freshness as we bring out all these iterations. But with the XD specifically, we have a very specific customer that we're trying to reach. So the two goals are, one, use the XD as a halo for the Titan brand. But secondly, and probably more importantly, we need to reach the specific customers that we're building the XD for and telling them our story. And so, yes, it will be initially a very targeted approach where we're reaching out in a very on a one-to-one basis as we identify these folks and telling them what we're trying to do here. And we've had a great response already. We have a lot of people coming to us asking us for information, and so that's been a very positive.
Individuals or fleets?
Individuals, absolutely. Well, fleets too, no doubt. But most of our effort to date has been early marketing to individuals.
And why that, not fleets? Because if you're going after a commercial market, I would have thought that going to the fleets first would have been the approach.
Well, so it's both. But with the product that we're bringing out first, this XD with the Cummins diesel, that will largely be a personal use vehicle. Some of the iterations we're bringing out a bit later are going to be very specifically designed for the commercial customer. So we are speaking to commercial customers at this point, but it's about the future iterations of the Titan that we're coming out with.
So this is for people who have horse trailers or Airstreams or boats that they're towing rather than someone who's towing commercial construction equipment?
No. It can be used for customers who tow commercial equipment as well. So one of the unique aspects in this market is that you will see customers, a commercial customer may buy a Platinum Reserve because they own their company and they will use it for both. So this and we'll have a work truck trim for the XD diesel. I'm not suggesting we won't, but out of the gate, it will be primarily personal use. There'll be some commercial business, and then the commercial business will really ramp up as we bring in other iterations of the truck.
So you'll be at county fairs, you'll be at what? How are you going to get to these individuals?
So, yes, we certainly have a plan to be a lifestyle plan. So we'll be at grassroots events and things of that nature. Heavily reliant on digital and targeted marketing as well. And there will be some broad reach media that we're planning as well. That'll play less of a role early and more of a role later. But we're planning all of those tactics.
You know, a 30-second television commercial is even harder than doing a 140-character tweet. What's the basic message when you just want people at a glance to see what this truck's about? What do you want them to see?
You know, it's a funny thing. When you have 30 seconds to tell a story, you have to be very, very specific,
very
and clear,
tight.
Clear
right.
About that. Right. But it's going to be about generating excitement around the Titan brand and leveraging the Titan XD to do that. And so in 30 seconds, that's what it'll be. But, you know, this is such a passionate segment. It's not terribly difficult to build excitement around something like this. We just but we're working on that at this point. Yeah, we're still working through those.
How important will the messaging be that this vehicle is developed, designed in the United States, engineered in the United States, being manufactured in the United States, and has a Cummins diesel? I mean, what part of the story is that?
All of those things are, yeah, absolutely important. American Titan is a message that we'll be putting forth in many of our marketing tactics. It's important mostly because, again, we're trying to legitimize Titan as a real full-size pickup. And the fact is, full-size pickups, it's a very U.S.-centric segment. And so to succeed, you need folks who understand trucks doing the development and the design. And that's what we have. We have a tremendous amount of truck expertise at Nissan. You talked to Diane and Brent and Rich. I think they're great examples of it. But the extended team also has been working in trucks for years. And so we want the public to know that truckers developed, designed, engineered this truck. So it's a really important message. And so we'll be using it a lot.
Real good. Phil O'Connor, thanks so much for stopping by and telling us all about this truck and how you're going to get the message out about it. Going to be fascinating to watch this thing in the marketplace.
I appreciate that. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Good deal. We're going to take a quick break right now. We're going to be back with Dr. Data and some numbers and some closing thoughts as well. But first, we've got to give a shout out to our friends at Fiat.
Amore.
Subito.
The all-new Fiat 500X crossover, featuring an available Uconnect system with a 6.5-inch touchscreen and available all-wheel drive. Well-rounded, has never looked so sharp.
Well, we're back, and we'll get to some closing thoughts and what we think about the truck and all, but Dr. Data, please, you've got some data that reflects on our whole conversation.
All right, so I was basically thinking, you know, trucks, Arizona, I mean, what's the deal? I mean, so 6.7 million people approximately live in Arizona. So I looked at the DMV numbers. So if we look at non-commercial pickups and vans, this would not be the commercial thing. Then they have another category called off-road. Okay, so I'm thinking truck-like things. I mean, the XD will have a version that is off-road. So you add those two together, that's 1.1 million truck-like units rolling around in Arizona, which represents 16% of the population of the entire state, that being men, women, and children, could possibly be in a pickup truck. So there's a lot of pickup trucks in this.
So there's a good reason to launch this truck in this state.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So what do you think overall?
Well, you know, one of the things is these guys have a hell of a challenge, okay? Again, looking at numbers for 2014, I mean, there were 753,851 F-Series trucks sold. Okay, that's all F-Series trucks. And Titan was down at 12,527. So looking at that, these guys have to be tremendous overachievers. They have to bring something to this segment that no one else has to get the consideration. And I think that this whole XD strategy is one that is going to be very, very key in being able to do that.
I like the strategy. I like the fact that they're not giving up. You know, they got a big hill to climb here. And, you know, as we learned earlier, I didn't realize their sales had been 91,000 way back when. You know, if they could get back to that, that would be a major victory. But a lot of credit to the company of saying, we're not giving up on this segment. We're going to double down. We're going to invest even more heavily. We're going to expand the line up. And that gives them a fighting chance, at least. I also like a lot of the details that they put in. You know, they were explaining all the things inside and out, and you get it all on this truck. So they're definitely, you know, coming out with their fists swinging to get into one of the toughest segments that there are.
But again, as you pointed out several times during the show, I mean, this segment, lots of people are buying product there. And for them to be able to say, okay, we're going to provide product that is not only competitive, but has some compelling aspects to it to really come consider us.
Well, they've got to because... you know, you've seen the bumper stickers. I'd rather push a Chevy than drive a Ford.
Mm-hmm.
So brand loyalty, like I said, is the most intense. You know, if you look at all the different segments, pickups are the most brand loyal. And when you get into diesels, that's the most brand loyal of the most brand loyal people in the business.
Right, and going with Cummins is
smart move.
Yeah.
Smart move. So, yeah, I like what they're doing. But, man, you know, the reality is it's in a brutally tough segment. So that's why I said it's going to be fascinating to see how it goes. Will they improve? No, unquestionably. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind, certainly, that they're definitely going to grow sales. Be interesting to know, you know, where you declare victory.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another thing, too, is, you know, the compact or midsize or whatever size truck you want to call. Things like the Toyota Tacoma and now the Chevy Colorado and GMC Canyon. Nissan's got an entry there, too, in the Frontier. Is that going to eat into the full-size segment? You know, grow the total pickup segment, but maybe more of it coming out of the smaller pickups.
Well, but if we look at the numbers, I mean, that really hasn't happened yet. I mean, there hasn't been...
Not yet, right.
There hasn't been cannibalization of, you know, Silverado by... Colorado. I mean, that hasn't happened.
Right.
And, you know, you talk to the Toyota people and they're basically saying, okay, that whole segment is growing. So I think there are more people coming into that segment. So maybe, you know, we're losing more of the sedan sales. And so there's going to be that problem. And, but I think that, you know, if you look at what they're doing, what Nissan's doing with this truck, you know, again, a slightly different space than anybody who would consider, you know, one of these smaller compact.
Yeah, no, like I said, I like their strategy. It's well thought through. It's mm-hmm. not like just, oh, you know, let's build a bigger one and throw it out there. I like the strategy. And it's going to be fascinating to watch how this all unrolls.
And that's what makes this business interesting, John.
That's why we do shows
about
this.
Talk about
business.
Absolutely.
Well, good. Look, with that, it's probably time to wrap it all up. But, Gary, it's been great coming out here. I like being in the studio, but sitting out here in the desert sun is not half bad. Mm-hmm.
And I think next week we'll be back in the studio.
We will
so,
be.
The scenery won't be quite as nice.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, we're going to wrap this up. I want to thank everybody who has tuned in. And as Gary said, join us again next week for AutoLine After Hours.
AutoLine After Hours is brought to you by Bridgestone Tires. Your journey, our passion. And by Fiat.
Visit our website, autoline.tv, where you can watch us live. Get your daily news fix with AutoLine Daily and in-depth analysis and interviews with AutoLine This Week. There's all that and much more at autoline.tv.